An English barrister, John Smythe, accused of horrific physical abuse against boys he met at Christian summer camps in the 1970s and 1980s, has died of a heart attack in South Africa. Survivors of his brutal attack say that they are furious he wasn't brought to justice before he died. Andrew Greystone is a public relations consultant and a campaigner on behalf of some of Smythe's victims.
It's a horrific story of failure on the part of the church and the police and the UN network, which is now called Titus Trust. People in the church and the UN movement have known about John Smythe's abuse since 1982.
How can you be sure about that?
Because a report was published. Well, it wasn't published. That's part of the problem. A report was commissioned by the UN Trust in 1982. And we know the people who are named on that report. And we know that the victims who knew about it. But in all those years, nothing was done to stop him and nothing was done to help the victims. And then in 2013, 5 years ago now, a very brave victim reported the abuse to the Church of England. And so since then, the church hierarchy has known about it, including at least five currently serving bishops who've known about all this for 5 years. The church could have stopped him at any time since 2013. The UN network could have stopped Smythe any time over the past 36 years. There's been virtually no effort to ask victims to come forward or to offer counselling or support or redress. It's as if the church just reaches for the shelf, tosses out another apology and carries on. It's as if they don't want to sully themselves with the pain of victims, or somehow their theology can't cope with their own failure.
There was a police investigation going into John Smythe's behaviour, and had he not died in South Africa, you think he was going to be brought back to the UK for questioning?
Indeed, the victims who'd reported to Hampshire Police were told just a Friday before last that the Crown Prosecution Service had asked for him to be brought back for questioning. But now, of course, that's impossible.
You've spoken to some of those victims and survivors. How do they feel about the fact that Smythe has died before any legal proceedings were brought against him?
Well, they're deeply saddened about his death. Every man's death diminishes me, as it were. But they're extremely angry that the police and the Church of England and the Titus Trust, which now runs UN camps, were running them even last week, have failed to take this seriously, to bring it to justice in a way that they could have. We now know that there are at least 87 victims around the world, the vast majority of them children. It's horrific, and the scale of failure and the failure of the church to deal with this pains the victims almost as much as their memories of the original abuse.
So what would you or they expect the church to do now?
I'd like the church to take responsibility for what happened, to stop blanking victims and instead meet with them, sit down, listen to them, talk to them. I'd like the church and the Titus Trust to open their records so that they can find out who was abused and what happened. And of course, I'd like them to see if they can find some ways of making redress. That might be as simple as paying for the much needed counselling for some of Smythe's victims.
Andrew Greystone, thank you very much for that. Well, Andy Morse was one of those who suffered violent physical abuse from John Smythe for years, and he went public with his experiences 5 years ago.
I first met John Smythe when I was 14 years old. He abused me from the age of 16 and up until the age of 21. My abuse ended when I tried to take my life in February 1982 to escape a special 21st beating that he was planning to give me.
Did you tell anybody about it at the time?
I didn't tell even my own parents until 4 months later the exact reason. And as surprising as it may seem, I had kept the abuse secret for a period of over 5 years. The only other people who knew about my abuse were the other teenagers that John Smythe was abusing, my school friends, and the friends that I met at the UN Christian camps. But nobody else knew, not even anybody at the Winchester College where I was at school.
You eventually did go public with your story, and a police investigation was begun into that. But before you could even be interviewed by Hampshire Police, John Smythe has died. How do you feel about that?
I have mixed feelings. I think on a personal level, I'm disappointed that the legal process hasn't completed. I think for my own personal cycle of abuse, that would have been helpful. On the other hand, and a great advantage, is that myself, but particularly my family and my friends, are now not going to have to go through an extended process before a trial, during a trial, and after a trial. And I can see already that that has made my family happy, and seeing other people happy makes me happy.
The legal process obviously cannot go forward now that Smythe is dead. Do you want the church to continue to investigate this?
Well, the church told us that they couldn't investigate because it was a police matter. And now that John Smythe is dead, it is no longer a police matter. We actually, our concern about the church is that Justin Welby himself, who was at the camps with us and who actually mentored the Smythe victim who reported the abuse to the Cambridge Round Church in 2012, Justin Welby admits he became aware of the abuse in 2013, that somehow the four different police forces that I've been told were contacted, none of them were given proper information.
So do you want an inquiry into the church's handling of this case?
I'm not sure I would trust the church to do that inquiry themselves. I would like an independent inquiry led by somebody who the Smythe victims would choose. I think one of the problems with the church, a bit like their safeguarding, is that they're not independently safeguarded. They mark their own exams, and I don't trust that process.
Well, Andy Morse, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Now, we did try without success to contact the Titus Trust, which incorporates what was the UN Trust which ran those summer camps. Previously, the Trust has said it only became aware of the abuse allegations in 2014 and that at that point they provided full disclosure to the police and said they would cooperate with any inquiry. The Trust said that allegations had been reported to the Charity Commission, which it said had no regulatory concerns about the management of the Titus Trust.